Good morning.
This morning I'm going to be talking about Methuselah and in a roundabout way I'm going to get there. And as you know, he's one of the first characters listed in the Bible. He's the oldest recorded gentleman in the Bible. But before I start this morning, I want you to, if you want to, write this down for your own information, and you can delve into that a little bit more deeply. I found an interesting article written by Alex Williams entitled "Human Genome Decay and the Origin of Life." It's a very interesting article. He's a very good author, and I found it very useful in understanding why people lived longer in a pre-flood world. So if you've got that written down or memorized,
can you repeat that?
Human Genome Decay and the Origin of Life by Alex Williams. Anyway. And a little bit better. Now we'll get into this. I have taken liberty in shortening Genesis chapter 5. Normally I read verbatim for what it is, but I left out a fair amount of the wording because it gets a little bit repetitive, and you know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to be reading from the genealogy of Adam, and if you're there, I'm reading from Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 25, the condensed Reader's Digest version. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. And he begot Seth. The days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. This is a very quick synopsis of what I just read, and it talks about, you can see Adam, and we have a running lifespan, and you get Shem's age at the flood. 1656 years if you add up all the stuff I just read to you really quick, which most of you did already, right? You did. And another interesting thing is you can also take the shortcut from what I just read. Adam's age when Methuselah was born was 687 years old, and Methuselah's lifespan was 969, and 1656 years is what that adds up to. That's when the flood happened after Adam, after the creation. So that makes that very quick. Here's another one. This is one I find very interesting because quite often we find ourselves as linear thinkers. We think after somebody had a kid, you kind of forget about them, and he has a kid, and he has a kid, and you forget. Well, grandpa's still alive, and great-grandpa is still alive. And this one here really shows over here, whoops, be back. Over here, you have Noah. He lived 950 years, and he died. But his son was still alive, Shem, and his son, and all of these children of his were still alive by the time he died. Even Abraham was alive at the time of Noah. I find that very interesting. And you get this slide here, which shows a quick variation of the one I just showed you, that Noah, 10 descendants die in one generation. So all of those people were alive at the time of Abraham. I find that very interesting. This also shows how each generation here lived a little bit shorter and a little bit shorter and a little bit shorter. Generally, some lived a little bit longer, some didn't. Now, does that open up anybody's thinking this morning? It did for me when I was looking at these. I have this book at home, The Chronology of the Bible. It has a whole bunch of different charts and things in there, and I find this very interesting because I often think in blocks. This person was alive, he died, the next one took over. But that's not the way it was. So even at the time of Abraham, he would have had the option of going actually to go talk to Noah and find out what was going on. Very interesting. Methuselah may be one of the oldest and most famous people in the Bible. Most people remember him as just being one of the oldest guys, older than anyone else, and the fact that he lived almost for 1,000 years. And in most people's minds, that's his claim to fame. As recorded in Genesis 5, people seem to live for an incredibly long time, like Adam, who lived for 930 years. And Methuselah for 969 years. That sounds impossible, but actually it's not. If you look into that article that I listed at the beginning, it explains how genetic variations and things have taken place over time. Medical researchers now know that many, if not most, human diseases are genetic, caused by malfunctions that occur in the duplication of our genetic code. The wonder is not that we live so long in these days, but that actually we live as long as we do. We should actually be living shorter. The wonder is how we remain healthy enough in our lives to live as long as we do so many years later. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The body's repair mechanism is just awesome. Adam died physically, and the sad thing about that is that he was originally designed to live with God forever. But he sinned, and as you know, death came into the world. Remember, God had promised that if he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he would die. And like Jeremy said this morning, God takes a long time before he becomes angry and gives us many times, many options to change ourselves. So it took 930 years, but the promise of death was fulfilled in full. He had known good before eating of the tree, but now he knew what it was like to disobey God, and so he also knew what evil was. Along with this knowledge, he immediately died spiritually in terms of his relationship with God, and so he also began to die physically. Adam's relationship with God after that was never the same. Why didn't God just put him to death right away, immediately? Perhaps it was to give him time to repent and teach his sons and daughters the lessons he had learned. We are not told. Notice also that Cain was not listed up there in the genealogy. That suggests to me that this is a specific family line that I showed up to the time of Noah. It suggests a different godly line. Those who, as it says in chapter 4, began to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 4. This is not a full genealogy. This is the same method of writing a genealogy as is recorded in Matthew chapter 1, where we read about the genealogy of Jesus. Some people were missed out while emphasizing others. And what about Enoch? Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, who walked with God, and he was not, for God took him, and he lived for 365 years. What was all that about? Well, he obviously had a close relationship with God. But before reaching the end of his life, God took him physically up into heaven. We can only speculate about that, as I spoke on him a few weeks ago. And I won't go over that speculation, but I spoke on that. You can go back and look at that sermon if you want. The same thing happened to Elijah in 2 Kings 2, verse 11, where it says, "Then it happened, and as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." Some suggest that God took them before death because he wasn't finished with their ministry yet. They say that some people say that they will be the two witnesses that we read about in the last days in Revelation. The Bible makes it clear in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So Enoch and Elijah have not died yet, apparently, and the Bible says that Elijah will return to earth and preach again. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And I find that all very interesting. So maybe these two guys that appeared to the woman at the resurrection in Luke chapter 24, verse 4, "And it happened, they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." And again, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, "to the disciples as they gazed up into the sky as Jesus ascended into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." And as I said, maybe they will be the two witnesses that appear in the last days in Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 14 speaks about the two anointed ones who were standing by the Lord of the whole earth. Could they be the same guys waiting for the events of the revelation to occur? Where we read, it says that there were two witnesses are men and not angels. So there again, you can look into that for yourself. I'm intrigued with all this. So follow it up yourselves, because I want to continue speaking on about Methuselah. As I said, Methuselah lived for 969 years, beating my dad's record by a long shot. He lived to be 92. His name, Methuselah, means "when he dies, it shall be sent." Or some Bibles say, "when he dies, then the judgment." Enoch walked with God and knew something prophetically and named his son Methuselah. "When he dies, it shall be sent." God might have told him something about the coming flood. The flood would judge the earth, and God used Methuselah to give a warning. Strange thing to do, to name your son to be a prophetic warning to the people of the day that the judgment was coming. But other prophets in the Bible did the same thing. In Genesis chapter 9, it says, skip that part. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, some people think that means that a man should live for 120 years. Now, as I said, my dad lived to be 92, but 120 years, that's stretching it. I also think that maybe this is what it means. It's not for how long we may live. In this context, I think that it refers to how long God will strive with the human race before he finally sends the flood. 120 years of grace. They had 120 years of godly men and women seeking to influence them towards repentance before they would be wiped off the face of the earth. Perhaps men like Methuselah helped Noah bring this message to those stubborn, sinful, and corrupt people. So it wasn't just Noah who was witnessing. There were lots of other people that were alive. I love the fact that God always gives us plenty of time to repent. He doesn't just wipe us out the first time we sin. He didn't do that to Adam, and he doesn't do that to us. He gives us plenty of time to repent. He gives us time, and the more time and more time to choose to repent so our lives can take on his purposes and make a difference. Or we can choose our own selfish desires, which are not of any spiritual value. God's Holy Spirit strives with us, as he did long ago. The Bible says in John 16, verses 7 and 8, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." But it is obvious that there comes a time when he says, "Time's up. You have to decide." In the times when Methuselah and Noah and all those other men lived and women lived, there were times of so corrupt that God's Spirit came to the end of striving with them. And what a terrible thing that is, to come to the end of God's grace and be face to face with his judgment instead. All this makes me think of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent and receive his grace. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that he who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." This is what God wants, everyone to come to him. But many of us decide not to. God describes us by saying that a human also is flesh. In other words, he's not only a spiritual being, but a physical being. It seems that they had forgotten, like so many of us today, that we are spiritual beings, that we can have a personal relationship with God. If we operate out of the flesh only, then we are no more than animals. If we operate from the Spirit, then our flesh comes into alignment with God's will for us, and we will live a life that makes a difference to the world. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish." So God told Enoch to name the baby Methuselah. At that time on the earth, its inhabitants were selfish, they were self-sufficient, and they denied God. They believed that they were the center of the universe. They had, in effect, fired God. They had declared their independence from God. And since they lived so long, they also produced a civilization that carried sin to the extreme. And in Genesis chapter 6, this extreme sinfulness includes active, visible, demonic activity. You can read that for yourself. Methuselah belonged to the part of the family that came from Seth. Seth was the one that received the promise from God that a deliverer would come and crush the head of the serpent. And this promise was passed down from generation to generation, from father to son. It came to Enoch, and he gave it to Methuselah, and he passed it on. And in this pre-flood world, with its millions of people, it seems only one family believed in God and the promise. Everyone else had forgotten about God and lived for self. This family was probably viewed as a little strange. I mean, it says, Enoch walked with God. That means that Enoch was out of step with the world. He chose not to walk in step with the world. And then when Methuselah is 223 years old, his father disappears. He goes for a walk with God and never comes back. No death, no body, no funeral. This family is different from those around them, but Methuselah lives up to the family's high standards and lives on through God, just as his father did. His family must have prayed for understanding of what that was all about, Enoch disappearing, but they would have to wait many years before it was revealed to them. So Methuselah's name speaks of the flood, but it also speaks of the love of God, the mercy of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God toward the human race. For when he was born, the world was bad enough to wipe it out. But God waited almost 1,000 years. God pleaded with that generation to pull them from their sin to him, but they would not listen. Methuselah became a witness to others of God's mercy, love, and patience, because God said he would wait as long as that child lived. Remember his name. This child then became a living testimony that there is a God and that he is calling you and warning you about what is coming, because it will come. When God decided to show his mercy in a human life, that life of Methuselah was the longest that ever lived on the planet. The judgment is about to come, and God says, not yet, and gave him more years. For the scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish. So God's love and God's patience kept putting off the flood. Methuselah kept living, getting older, another 10 years older, another 10 years older, and another 10 years. And as I said, in the book of Genesis, it says, God is slow to anger. So in a world that has fired, dismissed, discharged, and laid off God, here stands a man whose very name reminds us that God is here and God will have the last word. As Armin has said, God wins. Just takes a while to get there. Methuselah gets married and he has a son named Lamech, and the promise of the coming deliverer is passed on to Lamech. Then Lamech has a son, and old Methuselah sees something special in this child. And this child is named Noah. And Noah means rest or comfort to our heart. At this time then, there are only 12 believers in God on the face of the earth. Methuselah and his wife, Lamech and his wife, Noah and his wife, Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. This is all that is left. And things are getting worse and worse. Methuselah is now 749 years old, and the relatives are checking up on him. How are you feeling today? Did you have a good supper? Did you have a good sleep? Because they know when he dies, something's going to happen. Noah is 480 years old now, and he has a revelation, and God tells him what it is. To Noah, God says, it will be a deluge. A deluge, that's better. The oceans would come up and the sky would fall in and the whole earth would be covered with water until the highest mountains are covered. And remember that the Virgin Mary is a descendant of Noah through Shem. And Noah is told that the flood will come in 120 years. So Noah tells Methuselah. And Methuselah goes, oh, that means I must have about 120 years left to live. So finally he knows. So here's this little family of 12 people living around a faith in God that has been revealed to them. These people are out of step with the rest of the world. They do not just march to the beat of a different drummer. They are marching to the beat of a drum that comes from the other half of the universe. Now, when Lamech dies, he's 777 years old, and it's 5 years until the flood. And old Methuselah knows that his time is short. And then when he is 969 years old, Methuselah dies quietly. And the next day, the heavens fell in and the floods came up. Well, we live in that same type of world almost. And I, for one, like many times, feel that this small family, how they felt, sometimes is how we feel, like a stranger in the land. You and I then are Methuselah in this world at this time. As Methuselah represented the character and patience of God, so it is with you and I. Our identity is in the gospel. Our identity is the love of God that has come to us through Christ. For people who believe in evolution, they believe that we are getting better, we are progressing, that we are just sophisticated animals who are just awesome. But when you know that you are made in the image of God, that changes everything. When we accept Jesus and are baptized, we are no longer part of the kingdom of darkness, but are part of the kingdom of God. We are no longer part of that old world, because Scripture says that after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses. Just like Methuselah was a witness in his very length of years to the long suffering of God, God will have the last word. And when Methuselah died, it came, just like the name said it would. And the it was so great, so catastrophic, that they forgot all about his name, for it became history. And the history became greater than Methuselah's name. So now I've been up here and I've told you what Methuselah stands for and what God, how he has the last word. Remember that God is not willing that any should perish. So he lengthened the days of Methuselah so that they all might have a chance to change their minds. Can you imagine those people coming before the Lord at the time of judgment? How can they deny, after all those years, all the testimonies that they had heard, what Methuselah's name meant, what Noah and his family had said to them? And they denied it all those years. God is not willing that any should perish. So he lengthened the days of Methuselah so that all might have a chance to change their minds. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, time is precious. And you don't know how long you have and what tomorrow will bring. Shall we stand for prayer? Father in heaven, we thank you for our Bibles. We thank you for the history that you give, where places and numbers and people and testimonies line up so well that we can take all this information as fact. All these recordings, and I was reminded of the Dead Sea Scrolls and what they have recorded, has not changed over the years. The testimony is the same. And that says something when a testimony over thousands of years is the same, when the facts corroborate with each other, when your word that you've put in the Bible is true, when the prophecies that you have given come true, when the testimonies we hear from other people are true, when the testimony we hear through Jesus is true, and we give thanks for that. In this world where we can walk in step with it or walk in step with you, Lord, we choose to walk with you. You give us light in our hearts. You lift us up. You give us wise counsel. We ask that you be with us. Be with those who have not accepted you as Lord, who have decided to put it off. Give them an urgency to accept you as their Lord and Savior, for they do not know what tomorrow will bring. We pray these things in your loving name, your loving Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.